judgment, and he would be embarrassed. I have no problem with embarrassing an idiot, okay? No problem whatsoever. If you're an idiot, I'm going to tell you you're an idiot before you get self-hurt. I have no problem with that. But you see, I already told you the most important part. Roy is a real estate agent. Roy's not selling houses. Roy has no money coming in. Roy is losing everything.
This is a talk to we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to even. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Holy crap! It's a live show. Oh my God! Welcome aboard, everybody. It's phones suck. That's all I can say. Welcome aboard, everybody. John Fox coming to you from the beautiful piece of heaven known as the Central Coast of New South Wales, Australia. Wonderful, wonderful, woy woy, glad to be here. The normal phones ain't working, damn it. But we're going to try something in the interim while we try and work out that. We've got Skype working, so those of you who have Skype can get into the program. Just search up my username, which is FoxedUp, F-O-X-D-U-P, and you should be able to get into the program that way. We've run a little test. Thank you, Mr. Tim from L.A., and let's see how we go. Now, I've, sweet F.A. of show prep today because, I've just been trying to get the phones working all morning. Thanks to Bob and thanks to the gents at CityNet. Just seems to be the most bizarre situation over here. Seems to want to work everywhere but here. But anyway, and at some point during this program, I might have to just, kind of get up and walk away for a moment because my new computer is on its way. Delivery's supposed to be today, so I'm keeping an ear open for someone to come knocky, knocky, knocky at the door and say, "Sign here, buddy." So be prepared for that. We'll deal with it as it comes, and that's just the way it be. And I tell you. Oh, I'm looking forward to having a PC to run this show again. This two laptop thing has not been so good. And no, Tim, I'm not getting a Mac. I refuse to be screwed for an extra 60% over what everybody else in the world pays. It's an interesting thing that I learned a few weeks ago. Australians pay up to 60% more for all Apple products than the rest of the planet does. And I'm not talking about currency conversion. I'm talking about just actual just price. I mean, and I think that that's disgusting. You know, it's like Sony screwing people, you know, dedicated listeners. I mean, you know, not to get into the whole Mac PC debate, but shit. Mac people are really, really loyal. And is that what they get for their loyalty here in Australia, paying a 60% surcharge for the pleasure? I couldn't believe that when I read that. Sony also does it with their Vio laptops. And what really makes no sense is that, you know, I mean, it's all made in Asia. Technically, if all things were right in the world, which they're not, those products should be cheaper here because they've got less distance to travel. You know, that just makes absolutely no sense to me. Yep, ELO, soon only not yet. ELO remembers my little, our little anagram for, Sony. For those of us that work in the entertainment industry, or as I used to full time, that was the way that you used to get paid when working for Sony. Soon, only not yet. And for those of you that, you know, have been listening to this show over the years, way back, you will remember my rantings and ravings about the way that Sony just kind of screws with people. And, you know, they don't pay their artists on time. They just don't. But anyway, acronym. Yeah, acronym. Thank you. Hey, man, you know, it's been a bit nuts here. See, I'm getting ready to head to Melbourne day after tomorrow, and because I'm performing at the Melbourne Film Festival in a stage show called Mimosis, and anagram. What an idiot am I? Jeez, you know, someone just reached through the laptop and smacked me. So my brain's been in a totally different place than doing radio, reasons being that I've been remembering how to play drums after a 10-year hiatus. But I'm involved in this really fascinating little show, multimedia extravaganza, one could say, for one of the intermission events down at the Melbourne Film Festival. It's a custom piece written by a friend of mine, Kathy Vogan. And it's, well, I guess probably the best thing to do is read the blurb about it on the web from grayspace.com, which has a bit of a thread going about this. It says... Kathy Vogan, formerly of a band called SPK, has written this thing. I'm playing drums and guitar on it. We have a young lady by the name of Ella Becker playing piano, accordion, and the legendary George Washing Machine on violin. This guy is amazing, just incredible musician. And we had our one and only sit down rehearsal all in one room yesterday. And it was rather fantastic. But the blurb here, they say here about Mimosis, this little bitch, Cat V, from the new SPK, looks like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. But she's got some very nasty friends, and her work is toxic as hell. Do not under any circumstances watch Mimosis if you're prone to epileptic fits or easily hypnotized, and be warned that even in her quieter moments, she'll be fucking with your head. Officially, Mimosis is about mirror neurons and ogres. And your humble host will be done up as a pirate for this thing. And just really looking forward to this. were the headline on Thursday night here in Australia for these intermission events. Basically what it is people go, attendees go and watch films, and then at this kind of schmick production pub across the street from the main venue, they have productions. They have some intermission entertainment where the headline of four acts. This show was commissioned by the Minister for the Arts of the State of Victoria. And from all reports, they're really, really excited about what they're seeing. And so I hope to, when I get back, maybe have a little bit of video, some photos and things that will get up on the website. And so it's this thing, four synced up video screens that tell a story along with live musicians and Kathy singing and telling the story. And it's basically boy meets girl, and it all just goes really, 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 really shithouse. but it's going to be really, really good fun. So the music's really great. I have to give Kathy credit for writing some compelling music. And so that's where I'm at the moment. So my studio is rather empty because my drum kit has already been packed up and on its way to Melbourne, which I will be catching up with it in probably about 48 hours from now. And it should be good fun. But anyway, what to talk about today? There's bunches. Healthcare. I am becoming more and more convinced that if the United States does not get away from this for-profit healthcare system, the nation's doomed. The ability for business to compete is strangled. The general health of the nation. You know, I don't understand this concept of where people don't get it that a healthier population works more and pays more taxes. And just to give you an example, a report came out here in Australia just this morning about the state of the healthcare system here in Australia. And they say that it has problems. But these are all problems that no one here would trade. I mean, we have a bit of a shortage of beds in some areas and things like that. However, no one here in Australia would even dream of trading in the system that we have here, no matter how problematic it may possibly be, for a system like the United States has. Because here in Australia, you won't go broke to go to the doctor. We still have private health insurance companies. You're able to do that if you like. So this whole thing about, you're going to take my choices away. No, actually, a single-payer system would give you additional choices. And I have no doubt that it'd be the same thing in Canada, France, the UK. No system's perfect, and you can cherry pick little factoids to scare people. But in this country, 100% of the population has access to a doctor. You get sick, you go to a doctor. And yes, you can choose your doctor. And if you're using the Medicare system that we have here, you find your local bulk billing doctor. So that's what it is, bulk billing. So they kind of do all their billing to the single payer in bulk instead of individual forms to different HMOs and all this other kind of crap. There's a fee structure. Off you go. And employers get this great little thing. One, they don't have to pay for health care out of their pocket for their employees. Second, here's something that people don't think about. You have less people taking bogus sick days because, since there's no excuse for you not to go see a doctor if you're crook, you then can get a doctor's note. And employers are allowed to ask for that doctor's note if you're out for more than one day. Where the doctor says, yes, this person was sick. They came to my office. But I really, really am becoming more and more convinced. And Gail and I have been talking about this. You know, the very issue, the way healthcare gets is discussed in the United States just shows that it's like a sociopathic culture. To the point where people who run these scare campaigns against single payer healthcare, you know, say, well, why should I be paying for someone else's health care? But the part they're not listening to is, you do this and your health care costs are going to come down. You will be better served by the system. And as Bill Maher said on the weekend, does everything have to be for profit? I mean, seriously. Why the hell do we have, you know, what, you know, I remember when I was a kid where hospitals were, you know, run by churches or run by, you know, they were non-profit organizations. But then at some point someone decided that, you know, oh, we can make some money on this. Let's bring the bean counters in. And it doesn't do anybody any good. It's crazy. It's absolutely mad. But you know, if America doesn't pull its head out of its ass now, but see, this is the thing. Most of the population is behind the idea of some sort of universal health care. And I'm sorry to bash my own brother, but he says, you know, I don't want this socialized medicine. I'm going, really, single-payer system would be better, man. He's like, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I hate it. I'm against it. And I sit there and think, how fucking stupid is that? I mean, it just goes beyond, you know, to be against something that you don't even take the time to find out what the fuck it's about. And I find that pathetic. But I also think that this speaks about this part of the American population that, like, never fact-checks anything, never reads into anything, but they, you know, watch morons like Glenn Beck who lie through their teeth and are having them on. You know, I got this email again, you know, saying, you really got to watch Glenn Beck. He says it how it is. And it's just like, no, he doesn't. He's cherry-picking shit that makes you feel good. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think Glenn Beck believes half the crap he says. I think he's having his audience on and laughing all the way to the bank. That is my honest opinion of that lunatic. It's all for ratings, and it's all just playing to the lowest common denominator, least educated, least fact-checking segment of the populace. You know, Cubs in the chat room says, you know, Glenn Beck has, you know, poopy for brains. I sometimes wonder if he's just a really clever showman and knows that this is going to make him a shitload of money. I mean, all that crocodile tear crap and, you know, it's a joke. It's a really bad joke. You know, we're talking about serious subjects here, you know. Just the way, you know, the Republicans are saying, you know, they've got to kill this health care thing for political points. I mean, it just shows you that these people don't give fucking two shits about the people that they supposedly represent. They couldn't give a damn. But it all comes down to political frickin' posturing. It's a sad joke. You know, and classic, you know. I watched Obama's press conference the other night where, you know, some people said, you know, he seemed like he was tired and he's seen this or that. But still, you listen to what he had to say. He laid out why this is necessary and the benefits that will come. Now, people are saying, oh, it's loose on detail. Well, the plan's still being designed. This is not something that you can, like, throw together in 6 months. You can come up with a framework. You can come up with a plan. And it will take years to get the system off and running. And it will have to be done in stages. And it will have to be adapted. But to just give you an example, you know, like, you know, I heard about this, that one of the ideas to possibly pay for it is to add this, you know, tax on people that make over $1 million. Okay, that's kind of fine. I can kind of see that. But see, here in Australia, every single citizen on their federal income tax pays a Medicare levy. And I think it's like less than 2% of your income. And, you know, it stops at a certain point. It doesn't get any higher. And if you make too little, you don't pay it at all. But no one complains. Well, virtually no one complains about the fact that most of your health care can be paid by 2% of your income. Now, Ben's just asking if there are phones tonight. I guess I'll say this again. Don't have regular phones tonight. They're a bit screwed. But if you'd like to Skype into the program, you can by looking up my Skype username, which is FoxedUp, F-O-X-D-U-P. And feel free to Skype in, those of you that have the software and have your that whole thing working. And we'll see how that goes. And we're going to figure out, you know, hopefully when the new computer arrives sometime today and I get that running, all this phone nonsense and problem will be just ancient history. But the one thing that hasn't been covered in Australia under Medicare has been dental. And it's a problem. We're really, really short of dentists in this country. It's a bit of a shocker considering the system that we have with the rest of healthcare. And the discussion is, you know, it'll be like $500 million to kick this in. So how's that going to get paid for? A slight increase in the Medicare levy. I don't think anyone's going to complain about it. If they're able to go to a dentist. which at the moment, even if you have the money to spend, in some areas of the country, it can be hard to even get in to see a dentist. And sometime way long before I lived here, some idiot decided that it would be a good idea to remove dental from Medicare. And once that happened, things kind of, you know. It's just, you know, crazy to think, you know. The United States pays easily twice as much for substandard health care than the next most expensive country in the world. And how this is thought, this status quo is thought to be a good idea, and how the way it should be, is madness. It's absolute madness. Oh, we have him call. Welcome to Foxed Up. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Hey, John, how's it going?
Not too bad, man.
I got a little quick story for you.
Okay, shoot.
When I lived in Arizona, I didn't qualify for the state's access program. I made $6,000. So one day I was out at the University of Arizona, and I couldn't take the elevator because I was broken. Went up the ramps, which apparently they weren't really wheelchair ramps. They were people moving ramps. And I was in a manual chair at the time. So I couldn't get up the rest of the way. I turned around and started to go back down.
Right.
So I lost control of the chair, and I hit the basketball, the wall right next to the basketball doors at McHale Center. So all the chairs broke my leg.
Ouch.
When they got me up and took me to the student health office to x-ray the leg, and they told me it was broken, the only thing I could think of and the only thing I said was, how am I going to pay for this?
Right.
That kind of, this is back in 1985, I think. And I ended up taking the, I was so afraid of the cost, I didn't take an ambulance. I called my mother out of work. She came over the car. They got me in the car with a sliding board, which hurt like the devil. Got me over to the hospital, and they cast me up, and I was there for 3 days, and I had, I think, $20,000 bill. And it took me, probably the better part of 2 years to pay it off with, say, like $20 a month.
See, this,
so,
this is...
I don't want to go through that again.
Well, see, this is exactly my point, Gene. I do not understand people's logic when they think that, you know, when you are ill or when you are broken, you should be compelled to have to fork out for, you know,
medical care.
Yeah, yeah. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
It's not, I can't say, well, they talk about the free market. That's not a free market, because you have to have this. This is not a free market implies a choice. And it's like, you ain't got no choice. You're in pain. You just wanted to stop. So, you know, now, ever since the Medicare Part D drug benefit that was supposed to help people a few years ago, I've had to pay, not a lot, but some, for the drugs I use, and that means, and it goes up every year by, so far, at least the nickel, which isn't so bad right now, but I don't know what it's going to be like in a few more years. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that really gets me. Now, it's funny because I wondered, I haven't really looked at, in fact, I don't even think the Republicans have a healthcare plan.
No, they don't. This is also part of their classic thing. They they complain and say, you know, oh, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. It's a horrible idea. And then actually come up with no alternatives. Now, to be, and you know, even, they're even going to fight this thing when Obama's, you know, even talked about taking on some 160 different amendments that they thought were good, positive ideas. So, if you're going to put in good, positive ideas, then turn around and say the whole thing's shit. I'm getting really tired of this consistent, absolutely useless style of opposition, where it's all about the game of politics and nothing about actually doing anything for the populace of the nation. I think it's just absolutely just grotesque.
Yeah, it's awful. It kills me because it's like, I mean, they should know better, but it's, you know, here's where I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit on Mr. Beck. I think he really believes this crap, because if he didn't, the stuff he spews, I'm sorry, I consider to be kind of a traitorous act. I mean, it's like they gotta know that they're playing with the sovereignty eventually of the United States, and it's like, how can you do this and turn around and say you love this country when it's like you're just fucking it up, pardon my friend.
That's all right. No, man. I agree, because I'm becoming more and more convinced that this is going to be the issue that is going to make or break the United States as a nation.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's the case, because I'm sorry, but the way I know, I don't care. The Republicans are always saying, well, you're not loyal. It's like, bull crap. How can you be loyal to a government if they're not going to help give you a day-to-day, you know, things? But these stupid liberal Republicans, whatever you want to call them, I just think the only thing government's good for is war. Oh, I'm so tired of it. I get so disgusted. And it's like, I just had an endoscopy Friday, and I'm glad, you know, it's been nice to move up here to Oregon and so far keep most of this stuff covered. I mean, when I was in Arizona, I was finally, after I was there for 14 years, and after 10, I was finally able to get on what they call QMB, which is I'm trying to remember what those letters stand for. But it's like if you can't get anything else, that there's that option. And that took me 4 years, and I had to lose the Social Security I was on and get reissued under a different number in order to qualify for that. And it was a nightmare. It really was. I don't want to do this anymore. And if they don't have health care here, I'm not really sure what I will do. Because, I mean, this just, I'm getting older. I mean, I'm sorry, 45 is not that young, at least for me. I mean, so this is crap. Anyway, I will let you go so other folks can get on and try and Skype you.
Right on, man. Well, it's working. I'm really stoked about that. I can't even tell you, because the idea of doing 3 hours without anyone to talk to just kind of was not fun to me. So
I understand that. Maybe since you're on Skype, maybe some other guys can call
yeah.
in.
Yeah. That would be very nice. And do you remember our old mate Fire Ant?
Yes, I do.
I'm actually going to meet him face to face in a couple of days. I cannot wait.
Oh, cool! Yeah. Enjoy Fire Ant. I'm looking forward to it. Well, it'll be nice while you're up there in Millboard, where you said it was nice and cooler up there.
Say again.
You said it was nice and cooler up in Melbourne?
Well, it'll be cool there. See, you know, we're coming out of winter now here, so it's like things are starting to get a bit more mild. It's a little further south. It'll probably be cooler than it is here. But I'm going to be inside a venue most of the time. And, you know, but Melbourne's a great place, man. It's like, it's really, really cosmopolitan city. It's very European in its feel. There's tons of art. There's tons of music. There's tons of everything there. It's a pretty neat town. We seriously considered moving there a couple of years ago, just because we thought that the IQ level and the culture level was just that much far ahead of New South Wales. But yeah.
I'll be thinking of you when it's 38 degrees here.
Well, hey, mate, the 40s and 50 and pushing 50 will be only a few months away from here, man. So, you know, I know what hot is. But, hey, man, it's really good to talk to you, my friend, and we'll speak soon. And thanks for everything you do.
Sure, not a problem.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. And that is the news ninja, the original news ninja. Mr. Gene Chennai. And, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Why? You know, and, you know, Gene's got specific health issues. You know, stuff that he can't get away from. And he can't work full-time like an able-bodied person. And there's other people in the connected with this network that are in similar situations. And to actually expect these people to pay in a profit system for their health care is just insane. It's, you know, it's just preying on people. It's disgusting. But we're going to take a little break. I'm going to grab something to drink here. And, wow, this is cool. So I've been seeing people finding my username there on Skype. So if you feel like it, find me, FOXDUP. Search it on your Skype, and you can get in on the program. But for the moment, we're going to take a little break, pay a couple of bills, and we'll see you on the other side of things. Haven't listened to this since the last time we did a show. Bit of fishbone. Servitude. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. America's liberal voice. We'll be back shortly.
Will you lie if they say it's their will? We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Coming up on the, it's about 46 minutes past the hour, and a bit of Soundgarden rocking there. Classic, classic, classic. And yes, by next week we should actually have the old music library back on board. Just a second, did I hear someone at the door?
Hello?
Nope, false alarm, because my new computer should probably be coming to the doorstep at any moment. If you're not in the Head On Radio Network chat room, what's wrong with you? You're obviously on the net listening to this thing. Well, you could be listening on your iPhone or some other portable device, but headonradionetwork.com/chatroom. Jump in the pool. We got some people in there. Hey, Sarge. Sarge has just come in, and, you know, we got the regulars. And actually, Betsy sent me, you need to go to headonradionetwork.com, and in the featured post widget at the top, second story in, some really, really great pictures at a post from Texas Betsy, about, a protest, supporting healthcare. And, I think getting out and making noise about that this is what needs to happen is probably the most important, it's so important to just actually get behind the cause, because there's so much disinformation, lies, not disinformation, frickin' lies, out there. And so she's got a post here that says, if you're going to talk the talk, you better be prepared to roll the roll. but it looks like they were, you know, out there honk for health care. And these are the kind of things that we got to do. The protest was inside and outside the AFL-CIA offices, three blocks from the Capitol. Just kind of scanning through here. But Betsy says here, sometimes when you feel strongly about an issue like providing health care to all Americans, you need to get out there and do something. Sometimes even writing letters and calling Congress critters isn't enough. Sometimes we need to protest in person, talk to those we disagree with, and even attempt to convince the crazies that they're wrong. Sometimes you need to sit up and be counted. And I couldn't agree more, Betsy. Beautiful work, great pictures. And, of course, she has, you know, pictures of the other side saying, you know, don't mess with my body or my doctor. I mean, how stupid is that? And using the term socialism as this big scare tactic. It's socialist! You know, gotta get back to, you know, hello, you like having a police department, you like having a fire department. You know, there was a day in the United States that individual homeowners, you know, paid into a particular fire company. And if you didn't have the placard for a particular fire company, your house would just burn to the ground. They'd say, sorry, you didn't pay in. That's what this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. And every time, you know, government can't do nothing right. Hey, how about the frickin' post office, eh? I've been able to watch my computer and track it all the way from Beckley, West Virginia, all the way through via New York City into Australian Customs to the delivery office locally. Seems to work pretty damn well. And could you imagine if the post office was privatized? I mean, blah? You know, and seriously, you know, we have this, you know, mob of people in the United States that will allow their ideology to dictate what they do over the facts staring them in the face. You're being fucked over by the for-profit system that we have now, and you're going to defend it. There is the cognitive dissonance is deafening. You know, Betsy in the chat room is asking me, how long has that taken? What are you referring to, Betsy? But, you know, I'm just watching this healthcare debate. asking me how long it's taken to get my computer here. About on a week. And that was with Express Post. So, you know, it's working all right. Now, here in Australia, Australia Post is actually a private company, but it's heavily regulated. And I don't think even most Australians realize that the post office is actually privatized. But it is heavily regulated. It still seems to do its job. And in the United States, you know, that whole free market thing, it'd be like, you'd probably end up sitting there going, you know, that post office in Beckley, West Virginia ain't profitable enough, so they just ain't gonna get no service. Hehe. 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 'Cause that's a free market, there's enough things in this world, there's enough industries in this world to profit off of. Healthcare should not be one of them. And, you know, I had it put to me saying, well, where do you want all the advances to come from if they ain't profiting? From Switzerland and Australia and Europe, where they're all coming from now. If you haven't noticed, the United States has fucking fallen off the cliff when it comes to actually developing new cures. Because a for-profit system actually just wants to keep you sick. A not-for-profit system wants to make you well. Because you've removed the profit motive. Seems pretty damn straightforward to me. But, you know, what Betsy was involved in, and, you know, and, like, Betsy's not the most ably mobile person in the world, and she got out there and made noise and put her body out there. So if a wheelchair-stricken person can get out there and make noise for this, the rest of us able-bodied, healthy people can, too. You know, I'm sometimes just so proud of the folks that are involved in this network, the listeners, our bloggers, because you all get out there. You know, Gene's got, you know, his different meetings that he goes to throughout the month. You know, his Peak Oil group, and, you know, out there, not just, you know, not just sitting at home and letting, you know, fucked news, you know, fill your head with shit. Actually going out there and actively participating, actively trying to learn more about anything, whatever it is. Okay, Betsy, you're mobily impaired, but you do spend a lot of time in a wheelchair. And I just think it's amazing how much you get out and do. And there's plenty of fully able-bodied people that sit on their ass and do nothing. So I'm very sorry if I put that in a way that you didn't like, and I apologize for that. But I think it says something about your... Okay, stricken is an awful word. I apologize. I take that back. But the sentiment is still as intended, you know. It's incredible how, you know, the people that are screaming bloody murder about, you know, socialized medicine, where? Socialized medicine. They don't even have a clue of what they're talking about. You know, and they use this thing, oh, I'm going to wait 8 hours in the clinic. No, you're not. But I put this to you. If you had to suddenly wait a little longer because everyone has access to health care, wouldn't that be a good trade-off? Because right now you might get through quicker in the for-profit system because you can afford it. Okay, is that the whole point? These people want health care for themselves, but nobody else. And maybe it just comes back down to the fact that we become a very selfish people. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour, A. And we'll come back, take more of your Skype calls. So if you want to try and ring in the regular phone lines here, just ain't working. They're not playing ball. So we have I have a Skype line set up. You just download Skype and search Foxed Up, F-O-X-D-U-P, and you'll be able to contact moi and have your say. So let's see. Here we go. A little bit of a flashback to Bruce's and my old show. You might remember this from Fourth Estate Radio, our old theme song. The time has come today. And the time has come today, and a long time ago, for America to have a more humane healthcare system. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. America's liberal voice. We'll be right back after this.
Is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Hour two commences. It's about 2 minutes past the hour, whatever hour it is, wherever you are on this beautiful blue marble, such that it still is. And I just got a really great email from our friend Tim in L.A. And this is excellent. Tim writes, I was a recipient of single-payer health care on the 4th of July, 2007. I was at my parents' house trying to fix a fence. Well, I fell and broke my elbow. Since I had no insurance, I didn't know what to do. I then went to the Tom Hartman chat room and asked some of the libs there. They said go to a Catholic health worker hospital. I told them I have no insurance, but the members said that it doesn't matter because the tobacco tax would cover the bill. After getting x-rays, I then went to the USC County Hospital, General Hospital, the same on the show soaps. I had to wait 11 hours, but after I was seen, I was treated with a lot of respect, had x-rays done, and guess what? Physical therapy, too. And now I can lift 110-pound dumbbells again. My credit is not damaged, and guess what? I am now covered for medical, visual, and dental. Single payer is an awesome program, and we do need more of it. If there is any gripe about single payer health, there are no plans to include holistic medicine. Well, see, these are things that can be added in too, Tim, because actually, like here in Australia, if you have additional private health insurance, it will cover things like acupuncture and massage and, you know, other things. So, you know, sounds to me like more proof that single payer with, you know, for-profit options can work together. And, you know, this is exactly it. So what? He had to wait for a while. The reason that he had to wait for a while is because there was, well, demand for this kind of service. You know, I just sometimes really wonder if certain people even know what the hell's good for them. And, you know, just as Bill Maher said on the weekend, you know, he's like, does everything have to be for profit? Why? Why is this the case? Why does everything have to have a profit motive in the United States? You know, another example of how, you know, where that question, where are all the developments going to come from if they ain't making no money? I've told this story before, but the cervical cancer vaccine, which many people in the United States would be familiar with, that has just shown really, really great results, was developed by the not-for-profit Cancer Council of New South Wales. They developed it through targeted donations, and then they license a pharmaceutical company to produce it. The pharmaceutical company gets a piece, but the majority of the profit goes back to the Cancer Council to develop the next great cure. Actually, Lilo is mentioning Bill Maher new rules from this weekend. I'm almost thinking I might actually go find that because it really was so good. I'm going to see if I can multitask here and see if I can come up with it. Because I think it says just boatloads about the situation. I just can't, you know, I can't get over this incredible push to try and kill something that could do so much good. And again, you know, on this issue, my brain just automatically goes back to the film Idiocracy. Hey, we want to talk to you about making your health care cheaper, more efficient, and more accessible.
Sorry, Baton. Go away, Baton.
That's what it. Sounds like to me. Let's see if this is the one that I was looking for. 24th of July. This sounds like it'd be right. Let's see if this is the right one. And if it is, we'll play this. Bill Maher from this weekend.
Okay. New rule, John McCain and Jackson Brown must hug it out. McCain settled his lawsuit with Brown.
Hold on, I'll try and scan forward and see if I can find the right spot. Aha, here we go. Let's try it from about here.
Make a profit. Please, give it a rest. Although the Three Musketeers, yes, they were dead. And finally, new rule, not everything in America has to make a profit. Thank you. You know, if conservatives get to call universal health care socialized medicine, I get to call private for-profit health care soulless vampire bastards making money off human pain. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Bill, the profit motive is what sustains capitalism. Yes, and our sex drive is what sustains the human species, but we don't try to fuck everything. It's okay for some things to remain non-profit, just like when it comes to sexual relations, some people are off limits, like your cousin or your sister. Or if you're a leading Republican, your wife. Now, it wasn't that long ago that when a kid in America broke his leg, his parents took him to the local Catholic hospital. The nun stuck a thermometer in his ass. The doctor slapped some plaster on his ankle, and you were done. The bill was $1.50, plus you got to keep the thermometer. But like everything else that's good and noble in life, some bean counter decided that hospitals could also be big business. So now they're not hospitals anymore. They're Jiffy Lubes with bedpans. The more people who get sick and stay sick, the higher their profit margins, which is why they're always pushing the Jell-O. Did you know that the United States is ranked 50th in the world in life expectancy? And the 49 loser countries where they live longer than us, oh, it's hardly worth it. They may live longer, but they live shackled to the tyranny of nonprofit health care. Here in America, you're not coughing up blood, little Bobby. You're coughing up freedom. The problem with President Obama's health care plan isn't socialism. It's capitalism. When did the profit motive become the only reason to do anything? When did that become the new patriotism? Ask not what you could do for your country. Ask what's in it for Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it's not just medicine. Prisons also used to be a non-profit thing. And for good reason. Who the hell wants to own a prison? By definition, you're going to have trouble with the tenants. It is not a coincidence that we outsourced running prisons to private corporations, and then the number of prisoners in America skyrocketed. There used to be some things we just didn't do for money. Did you know, for example, that there was a time when being called a war profiteer was a bad thing? FDR said he didn't want World War II to create one millionaire. But I'm guessing Iraq has made more than a few executives at Halliburton into billionaires. Halliburton sold soldiers soda for $7.50 a can. They were honoring 9/11 by charging like 7-Eleven. Which is wrong. We're Americans. We do not fight wars for money. We fight them for oil. And my final example of the profit motive, screwing something up that used to be good when it was non-profit, TV news. You know, I heard all the news anchors this week talk about how much better the news coverage was back in Cronkite's day. And I thought, gee, if only you were in a position to do something about it. But maybe they aren't. Because this isn't Cronkite's day, when delivering the news was considered a loss leader and a civic duty. Making money was the job of the Beverly Hillbillies. And now that we have reporters moving to Alaska and hanging out with the Palin family, the news is the Beverly Hillbillies. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You know, there's a reason why he's probably my favorite of you know, there's certain parts of what Bill Maher does that I even like more than The Daily Show. Even though they're two really different animals. But there are times where Bill just nails it. Absolutely nails it. And this is most definitely one of those times. Why is it that everything has to be for a profit? It's the fundamental question. And I just don't think... Actually, I know that the way America is going, it's not going to be sustainable whatsoever. I mean, it already isn't. You know, we have sick people being just turned away and thrown into the street. And people going bankrupt for health care. That's sick. I mean, that to me is virtually the definition of evil. And as Bill says, profiting off of human misery and pain. How do we see this as being a good thing? Yeah, Lilo says, you know, because the old mantra, John, the markets handle everything more efficiently. Well, that's bullshit, and we all know it. It's not true. We were having a conversation yesterday. Over coffee, my friend Kathy was up for the rehearsals, and Gail, Kathy, and I were having a bit of a chat. And capitalism, when unrestrained, becomes a mad race to the bottom. Because of the very nature of the beast. Someone is trying to keep a bit from everything that's done. And the more that they keep, the less that is out there. And, you know, I think I mentioned this the last time I was on. Next time you're having that discussion with some right-winger who starts going off about, you know, the stimulus and all that kind of thing, inform them that the one nation that is weathering this thing the best is Australia. This whole economic downturn, whatever you want to call it, global recession, this nation where I live, is weathering it better than anybody. And you want to know why? Because Prime Minister Rudd and his government listened to the economists who said, this is one of those times where the government has to spend money. And unlike what they did in the TARP thing, in the states where they gave the money to the banks, the Rudd government put guarantees on people's money in the banks. So basically created an FDIC kind of thing, which we didn't have. Okay, that's cool. But the stimulus ended up being basically a week's wages or a little bit more in every taxpayer's bank account. And with basically the orders of go out and spend it. Try and spend it on Australian businesses if you can, but go out and spend it. The other half of the stimulus package that they did here, and it was small. I mean, and you know, it could have been bigger, but they went on the small side. And what did it do? It slowed down the job losses, so the unemployment system wasn't getting hit so hard. Interest rates leveled out, inflation level, and the opposition here is twisting themselves up in frickin' knots because they have nothing to counter with. They're going, oh, it ain't going to work, it ain't going to work. Well, it's worked. There's no denying that it worked. So now they're all screaming about, oh, the debt, the debt, the debt, the debt, the debt. Well, here's this little part. You kind of take it one step further. If Australia starts to recover, which it already is, seemingly, from this downturn sooner, that means that tax revenues will increase sooner, in which the debts can be paid off sooner. And yes, there's been debt taken on, but this is one of those times when it's what needed to be done. Screw the ideology. Go with what's going to work. And now the infrastructure projects will kick in. And, you know, when we were talking about this weekend, is the only way to keep an economy, you know, the poor need to have money to spend to keep the whole capitalism system going. So with wages having stagnated over bloody, you know, 30 years, how much burden can you put on working people? If you expect workers to spend to keep things going, well, they need money in their pockets, don't they? But see, that'd be socialism, and that's just giving people shit. Well, you know what? It's the people's government. And the liberals here, remember, liberal here means it's a completely different thing than over in the States. The liberals here are screwed. Because they were wrong? Yeah, and like ELS says, 40% of the stimulus were in the form of tax breaks to appease the wingnuts. And see, this is where, you know, this thing that's been just like, you know, pounded down our throats for all these years, you know, taxes are bad, taxes are bad. Well, you know what? Taxes ain't so bad when they pay for things. Just look at California. Just look at the disaster that Schwarzenegger's created there. And from what I understand, it's all levels of politics there have just been, you know, cutting taxes, cutting taxes, cutting taxes, to the point where they've strangled, you know, drowned in a bathtub, the state government. bloody sending out IOUs to try and pay for things. I mean, come on. And I don't know if you probably saw this story this past week that I believe it's Oakland, California passed the first pot tax. Brilliant. Brilliant. Way to go, Oakland. They're going to pull in, out of just the four dispensaries in the area, almost $300,000 in increased tax income. That's one town. So, you know, let's see how that goes, and let's see how fast other localities adopt it. You know, I covered, you know, in the past, some of the great numbers work that was run up, that if, you know, they would just bloody legalize cannabis and tax it, the potheads of America could actually rescue the country. Now, wouldn't that be a really fucking hard one for the right wing to deal with? They've done the math that with a $50 tariff per plant and $5 per eighth from the buyer, California's debts would be paid off in 2 years. 2 years! And pay for everything. I mean, you know, you gotta pay for roads, you gotta pay for schools. And I really become more and more convinced all the time that the attacks and destruction of the American public education system that started with Reagan have created this population of people that can't even cognitively get themselves out of a frickin' shoebox. You know, enough to do your head in. Anyway, folks, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here, bottom of the hour kind of breaky thing here. And I'm going to check on something that David from Maine has sent me, get my head around that. And we'll be back here in a bit. Just me, got to do some tidying up of the playlist here. And let's see. What are we going to do here? Ah, because he's on tour here in Australia, our good friend David Rovics is in Australia at the moment. He's, I believe he's in Adelaide at the moment. He's in South Australia. And he will be coming up through New South Wales here in the next couple of weeks. I do hope to catch up with him and, you know, go and see a show. Good friend of the network, good friend of mine. And any Australian listeners that are out there, go to davidrobics.com, check out the dates, go and see one of his shows. It's really, really great fun. He's a great entertainer and writes some great songs. And I think that there might even be a more real version of this song out there, but he sent me this rough of it, and I just love this song. Pirates of Somalia. You're listening to the Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Let me tell you the story of 100 ships traversing the great big sea, moving the riches of the world in large ships owned by the captains of industry. They were heading to places like Amsterdam, London, and L.A. But they had to change their plans a bit when they were held up on the way. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, sailing the ocean blue. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, I'll read the Jolly Roger to you. Harad Harry is a town of fishermen, living lives of hardship and toil. But today they had a really good catch, 2 million barrels of oil. They travel with the Pirate's Handbook, doing what's just and fair, taxing the robber barons and taking their rightful share. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, sailing the ocean blue. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, I'll raise a Jolly Roger to you. Well, there are those who don't like pirates, but I think they're just great. I only wish that I could shake their hands and say, good job, mate. I only wish that I could join them on the seas, keep those tankers at bay, tax the corporations and give the loot away. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, sailing the ocean blue. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, I'll raise a Jolly Roger to you. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, sailing the ocean blue. Here's to the pirates of Somalia, I'll raise a Jolly Roger to you.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Jesus drove a motor home. I wonder what he drives. Pedal to the metal, real slow. Checking out the stereo. Set playing Bob Dylan. Motivation tapes. Tricked up in a bagel.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. A little bit of Mr. Jim White, if Jesus drove a motorhome. Oh, boy. It's just a great groove, isn't it? I think it's more Chiba doing this bitch.
If Jesus drove a motorhome,
And if you don't have any Jim White in your collection, what is wrong with you? Well, if you're tuning in late, the regular phones are down over on this end of the thing. So if you want to get in touch with the program, fire up Skype and search Foxed Up, F-O-X-D-U-P, and you can get in on the program. And Texas Betsy sent me a link just because she likes to hear me laugh with this insane image of a bear with a bra saying might need an intervention. Needed an intervention not just because it looks like an alcoholic bear, but it's drinking Bud Light. Someone intervene. Get that bear a real beer. Not that rice urine. Sorry. Hope I'm not offending any Bud fans out there, but sorry. You do realize that Anheuser-Busch is the single largest rice buyer in the world, right? I don't think there's been a hop in Bud for a long, 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 long time. Oy. So, you know, we've been talking about this healthcare thing, right? And before I went off on one of my many tangents that I've been on so far today, you know, I watched. Huh? What, Tim? I haven't. Oh, you're talking about rice wine, Tim. Yeah, but Budweiser's. Hey, I got no problem with being Asian. Man, Japanese food is like my favorite thing in the world. Yeah, Budweiser. Out of a corporate company, Budweiser buys more rice than any other corporation. You'd think that they'd rank up there for hops, wouldn't you? Just saying. You know, maybe malt barley? But anyway. So, you know, I watched Obama's press conference. And, you know, sure enough, you know, that last question, which dealt with the arrest of Mr. Gates, that's all you saw reported about that press conference. I don't care if Obama looked tired or whatever other things that people said was terrible about the press conference. He got out there and he explained, I thought, fairly well what adding a public option would do. But do we hear anything about that on any of the news programs? No. It all has to be about his opinion that the cops in that Gates thing acted stupidly. And I kind of agree with him. Again, not having been there. But the other 55 minutes of the presser was about this crucial, crucial subject of getting Americans' health care accessible. And I didn't hear shit about it. You know, the next day, the Today Show, they opened up. It was all about Gates. Nothing to do with what, you know, and this again goes back to what Bill Maher said. You know, another thing that was good when it was not for profit was television news. And because that's an entertaining subject, as opposed to actually doing something that might take a little bit more savvy and brains, which would be to investigate and discuss the issues of healthcare. No, we go right down Idiocracy Lane. And let's talk about the arrest. Ah, healthcare ban. It's scary. I got, you know. I thought when we got rid of George W. Bush, I would be more inclined to possibly not be totally freaked out by the idea of going back to the United States. But let's just say it hasn't worked out exactly the way I kind of thought. Because I'm just watching the stupid in the nation. Yeah, and I'm using that word, stupid. And Texas Betsy says that the MSNBC show is all focused on the Gates affair. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I'm watching the vocal minority, you know, the Palin supporters and the, I like Joe the plumber, even though his name ain't Joe and he's never been a fucking plumber. This ability to just live in a world that is just complete and utter fantasy. And be taken seriously. My patience with it is gone. I get sent an email about how I have to watch Glenn Beck because he tells it like it is. Sorry, the gloves came off. I just had to fire back and go, if you think that this guy's speaking truth, you're a fucking racist moron. You're an idiot. And it proves that you wouldn't know how to fact check a fucking thing. Because it's like, well, why play nice with these people anymore? Even when they're family. Because it does them no good to just sit there and kind of go, oh, it's okay, believe what you like, even though it's completely just factually inaccurate and destructive, but it makes you feel better, you little closed-minded fuckwit. Especially after the past 8 years of trying to tell certain people in the United States that things like weapons of mass destruction didn't fucking exist, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, all that having been proved true by now, pretty undeniable, I was right, we were right, and then you're going to turn around and tell me that I got to listen to this dickhead? Some buffoon that has a circus for a show of disinformation that just sits there and strokes the little egos of the unintelligent. Don't start, Tim. Tim's like, 9/11 an inside job, John? Don't start. Don't start. Oh man, I still remember Bruce and I ages ago had I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. Was it Tarpley? Was it Webster Tarpley we had on? And man, did I catch shit from my family? I couldn't believe they listened. Or at least I think they did. Because, man! Yeah, Halliburton did make off with billions, man. But, you know, look, we're just talking about what's going on and possibilities. And we just, you know. Oy, and it was Webster that got Malloy tossed off of Air America, right? Do I remember that right? Oh, I want a new investigation. But I'm not saying that it was an inside job. I'm just saying that we don't know what the fuck happened. And, you know, I've been going back and doing a bit of catching up on history and whatnot. And another one of these things that I'm, because, you know, I remember Susan and I have had conversations about this before. Susan as in Trouble Susan. I really am convinced that the United States and the American people have never recovered from the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King. And I personally am convinced, because I went there and had a look, that the whole story about JFK's assassination is just a whole fucking crock of shit. Because I went to Dallas before George W. Bush had Dealey Plaza rebuilt. I went there at a time when you could still, you could like wait for the lights to change, go stand where the man was shot, and look around, and anyone with half a brain would be able to sit there and say, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And there's this interesting little factoid. And I was kind of checking out some films and whatnot and kind of refreshing my memory, because I got really into the JFK thing for a long time. And it's probably the switch that flipped in my brain that started making me, like, question virtually everything else about the history of America that we are taught. Because it was just so blatantly obvious that the kill shot did not come from behind him. And not to mention all kinds of other things. And I've been wanting to actually, because the one that I didn't ever really get heavily into researching was RFK's assassination, Robert Kennedy's. And I think after JFK, man, you know, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was only born in 1969. So, I mean, all this stuff happened before me. But, you know, you watch footage of Robert campaigning, and you see people, like, really excited about this guy. And, you know, not to use an overused term now, you could see hope in people's faces. Not the, you know, marketed hope that we got from the Obama campaign, which was, you know, genius. As far as modern campaigns go, it set a new standard. But, you know, you get into conversations with some people on the right side of politics, and they'll just go and bash the Kennedys. And, you know, past generations, some of the Kennedys got up to some pretty fucking horrific shit. But there was something about that generation of Kennedys I think really wanted to do something different. And, you know, there's that wonderful there's a wonderful speech from JFK where, you know, he talks about, you know, dark forces at work. And it's pretty obvious that we would have pulled out of Vietnam if JFK hadn't been assassinated. RFK, as Attorney General, was going after the mob, while the head of the FBI said, there's no such thing as organized crime. Pardon? I mean, that's just stupid on its face. I don't care what time in history you're talking about. There's always organized crime. But, you know, we were like using mafia hitmen to try and go after Castro, were we not? And it seems as though I've conjured trouble. She just popped into the chat room. Hiya, Susan. Yes, I was talking about you. But, you know, the more that as I've been off the last couple of weeks, I've spent a bunch of time actually watching and reading a bunch of stuff about the era. And I think the Great American Awakening got shut down. And it's been shut down ever since. I don't know, one day historians are going to look back and when they're writing the chapter on what was the American nation, because seriously, you guys don't fix healthcare and get the fuck out of these wars. I believe the American nation is doomed. Yeah, and Lilo says the conservatives were building their think tanks and taking over the media at the same time. Exactly. And it's just been this progressive, slow turn to fascism. And Hartman had this guy on, bloody hell, what's his name, talking about inverse fascism. Seems to be like what we're living in. Where the market controls policy, as opposed to like the other way around. And it's a really scary situation. You know, I'm really thankful that I live in this place that, you know, for all of its ugly history with indigenous cultures and all that, still has the ability to look at things like healthcare as being something that should just be accessible. Chris Hedges, thank you, Lilo. Thank you, Chris Hedges. And I know Bob's a real fan. And when I was listening to him on Hartman, I was immediately screaming, damn it, why was, this should be on, and in my email comes Gail, my missus, inverted totalitarianism, that's what it was, inverted totalitarianism, and it was so unfortunate because Hartman's, you know, on the old model where it was, this little 6-minute segment where I'm sitting there thinking, oh, geez, you know, I want this guy on Bob's program so that they can talk about this for like an hour. Because it was just like scratching the surface, just barely scratching the surface. The The chat room's threatening to move down here. But, you know, seriously, what freedoms do you have left? What freedoms do you have left? You're not free to be healthy. You're not, you know, it's just, look, the most important person in my life wouldn't have been cured of a really, really horrific thing if it hadn't been for single-payer health care. Because we never would have been able to afford the treatment. But now that she's cured, she'll be a taxpayer for a whole lot longer. I think it's pretty simple. But you get that. So, gonna go and take a break. Come back for the top of the final hour of Foxed Up. It's really good to be back. And, kinda had a bit of the flu and all that kind of thing. And, you know, even though I didn't feel all that bad, you know, all the it wouldn't have sounded very good on air. So, we take a break. So anyway, as we always play once per show, our good friend Michael Franti and Spearhead, Stay Human. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
Starvation is a creation of the devil, the rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow, bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert, dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd. Scratch my itch like a needle on the record. Full of life like a man gone to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning. Morning, morning. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bop. Can I hear it once again? Boom bop. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Be resistant the negativity, we keep it at a distance. Call for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim but not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system. To legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive
with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha-ha. We saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment in time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns or still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by banging Testarossa. We need to heed the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in the stereo sauna, sauna, comma. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up for Hour 3, and we're going to go straight to the phones here, and I believe our good friend Susan. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hi there.
Got this Skype thing working. We got phones finally for once. I seem to have conjured you.
I've been listening. I wasn't in the chat room, though.
So... I guess you're ringing in about, you know, JFK, RFK, and that whole thing. We've talked about this before.
Well, in a way, I am.
Okay.
Did you have a chance to listen to Rick Goodner's show last night?
No, I didn't. I was in the midst of rehearsals.
Okay, this is going to freak you out. Think back to the book, 1984. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And how they would rewrite history?
Yep.
There are two states whose book orders for school books determine what is taught in this entire country. One is California, the other is Texas. According to Dr. Rick, the freepers, and they are real freepers on that board that determines what is taught in Texas, they're going through, and among other things, they're rewriting history, like... Whenever they mention something like where you would normally say the democratic process,
yeah,
they're going to be putting in the Republican process.
What?
Yeah. I almost fell off the chair.
Holy crap, Susan.
Yeah, holy crap is right. These people determine what is taught to the entire country.
The Republican process. So are they trying to play this off that the United States is a republic? Is that their logic?
And on top of that, they're altering history. Like Cesar Chavez was, you know, the fact that he was a labor organizer, a hero to his people in California, he just went down the memory hole.
I also hear that they refuse to talk about Che Guevara as well.
Yeah. It's that we were never at war with Oceanus.
Yeah.
The reason it ties in with the Kennedy thing is, oh, come on. How much do you think rewriting history has gone into that?
Like
the fact that there exists pictures of Poppy Bush standing on the front steps of the Texas School Book Depository. November 22nd, 1963.
Well, and
he was at the time the head of the CIA.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, he was not the head of the CIA at the time.
Not then.
Of the assassination. And the head of the CIA, there's one little press conference which rarely gets played where he actually mentions other possibilities of a second gunman, and he was then suddenly replaced.
Yeah.
And also, if my memory serves me correctly, as long as it's a single gunman theory, then the jurisdiction for the investigation stays in the state. The moment there would be a conspiracy, it would become a federal jurisdiction.
And guess who pushed that single bullet theory to the max?
LBJ, didn't he?
Well, it wasn't just Lyndon. Senator Arlen Specter.
Yep. Well, I am, you know, the whole 9/11 debate is a whole lot less clear to me than the JFK assassination. As far as I'm concerned, we were sold such a bill of goods. It was a complete and utter, just, you know, cover-up, cock-up. And, you know, I was watching all this footage what's his name, the shooter. Holy crap, hole in my head. The supposed shooter.
Oswald,
sorry. I got stuck on Orwell for some reason. But Oswald, you know, here is, like, the most important suspect.
And they just parade him around like...
Yeah! Yeah!
I mean, my God.
You know, I mean, you know, this, just that part of it alone freaks me out.
Yeah, he was, you know, it was obvious he was a stalking goat and he was meant to take the fall. And he did. And the thing with Bobby's campaign, the thing that made me decide that Obama was going to win was the looks on people's faces, because I'd seen them before.
Right.
During Bobby's campaign. And most of those faces, like just like in 2008, most of those faces were black and brown.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that Barack Obama did a lot better than Bobby, he managed to stay alive.
Yeah, well,
because
I mean,
I have a feeling that if they could have managed it, they'd have killed him.
And
they're still going to try it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the whole birther bullshit, you know, anything, you know, and this is something that we've been seeing, you know, the last few decades. No Democrat is ever looked on by the other side when they lose as being legitimate in office, and they'll find any excuse whatsoever. And I find it's an amazing contrast when you consider the fact that, you know, after the 2000 election, there were real concerns about the validity of that process. And,
yeah.
Oh, no, you know, it's the Bushes. They're ordained to be presidents in this country, and how dare you? And, you know, we have to give him the presidency because it could damage his reputation. I mean, what kind of bullshit is that? And
speaking of ordained, there is an article on the web, and I will post it. It came out during the campaign, but it kind of just got, when Brock's campaign went, woo-ah, well, everything just kind of went away. The recent hoorah about C Street. These people who are, in effect, trying to establish a theocracy.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to know another member of the family?
Who?
She's the Secretary of State.
Hillary?
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Do you think?
I don't know about you, but that scares the crap out of me.
That does. You know, I. So far, I'll take what I've seen from her at face value as Secretary of State, and I think she's doing a pretty fine job.
Well, I don't think she ever. I don't think she ever went down the garden path of actually believing in these guys. But what I think she's done when she joined this was she took a cold-eyed look at it and said, this could be politically beneficial.
Right.
Now, what scares me is how many other politicians, Democratic as well as Republican, have done the same thing and, in effect, sold us into another, well, take it back.
You know, I have so little patience for this kind of activity. I mean, you know, I think Rachel Maddow has been doing some incredible coverage of,
oh, yeah, she has.
Of this, you know, because it really gets into the fact that in a country where we're supposed to have separation of church and state, you have this organization which bills itself as a church, and
uh-huh.
they pretty clearly state that they have the loyalty is to one another and the family.
And then, nobody else.
Yeah. To me, that should almost make it, you know, that should be impeachable.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're violating their oath that they take when they're sworn into office.
That, you know, that whole thing I just find unbelievably scary. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was working at a 50th birthday party for some friends, and I told them the whole South Carolina story. And you should have seen them just pissing themselves laughing when I said, so, you know, they used the cover story about hiking the Appalachian Trail.
And then when I
said, you know, and they didn't actually check that little cover story out because it was, you know, naked hiking weekend. And they're like, you're joking. So the guys quit, right? I said, no. He's comparing himself to, like, Solomon or some bullshit from the Bible. The audacity of these people, hypocrisy knows no bounds whatsoever, you know. If I were a citizen of the state of South Carolina, I would be absolutely just hammering for this guy to be stepping down. Dereliction of duty time and time again. I don't even have to talk about the fact that he was having an affair. These things happen, and I don't necessarily think that they exclude people from being able to be good public servants, but...
But trotting off to Argentina and not bothering to let people know where you are when something can come quite easily come up, guys, that's a no-no.
You know, Tim in the chat room just asked me, he said, did you know that Charles Manson's group was also called The Family?
Oh, God. I have to tell you, as far as I've lived through, let me see, the Jones thing, Jonestown thing, the whole nine yards, the Manson family, the Rajneeshis here in Oregon, I can spot a cult a mile away, and those people in C Street, that's a cult.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in some of what I've been trying to catch back up on about that whole era, I actually did see a really great little film on Jonestown. And I have to say that I was probably really lacking in knowledge about what really went down there. Again, it's one of these events that happened before I was born,
uh-huh.
And being a child of the Reagan Revolution in education, we didn't talk about these things.
No.
We weren't taught these things. And I still remember actually asking when I was booking my classes for like my junior or senior year, asking, why don't we have a modern history course? The last thing you can get to is the Roaring Twenties. And they just said, oh, it's just all too recent to teach properly. And even then, you know, when I was still, you know, a Kool-Aid drinking, you know, because, I mean, it was the family that I grew up in. I said, so, you know, we're not going to talk about bloody the moon landing. We're not going to, mm-hmm. you know, I talk about the moon landing in a science class, maybe. But as far as
they don't want to talk about it because John Kennedy got up and said, we're going to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
This is what I wish we'd take on as the quest for renewable energy and cleaning up the planet. You know,
and something you said just really rocked me. It just came out, slipped out. It's just part of the way you talk. Your family drank the Kool-Aid. Where do you think that drink the Kool-Aid came from? The Kool-Aid was laced with cyanide. And it was fed to Jim by Jim Jones to his family, and they all committed suicide.
Yeah, with all those.
That's where the drinking of the Kool-Aid reference comes from, honey.
Right. Well, because and that was the other thing, you know, all these people had injection marks in places that they couldn't have possibly injected themselves.
It's just the whole Jonestown thing was. If you had taken Jim Jones and popped him into a different era or a different, I should say milieu, I guess you would call it, hand him a Bible and put him in the Southern Baptist Convention, he would have never raised a ripple.
Sorry, say that.
Crazy as he was, say, all 9 yards.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Something on the computer, Robbie.
If you could, when Jim Jones was alive, if he had had a Bible and been pacing the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention, he would have never raised a ripple, and they would have never gone into South America, and they would have never killed themselves, because, you see, he'd be still alive and still garnering converts.
Man, that stuff's just
scary. The only thing that so far has saved us is these so-called prophets have a tendency to end up self-destructing. But once they start getting themselves elected to office,
yeah.
Who stops them?
Nobody. Nobody. I
gotta tell you, I'm getting more and more grateful that I'm only 2 hours away from the Canadian border.
Hightail it over.
If I have to, I will, and I know the back roads, so I don't have to cross at Blaine either.
Tim's also going, hell, John, Ted Bundy was a Republican.
So was BTK. All of these serial killers were Republicans.
Gail and I have been just watching the dynamic that's changed since Obama got in. And, you know, I've got my gripes with what Obama's up to. You know, but I mean, we would with any politician. But to watch what is effectively the losers just completely just go off the plantation into just lunatic type activities,
I don't think it's all that lunatic, or at least not at the top. I think the birthers are lunatics, but I think they're being pushed in the hope that sooner or later one of these angry, angry, angry birthers is going to snap and pick up a gun.
I have no doubt. And I mean, you know, they've talked about how, you know, Secret Service doesn't even publicize all of the threats against Barack Obama just because there's just too many of them.
Well, they don't publicize the threats against any president. They don't want people to know. Specifically so that people can't learn how you go about getting to a president. And that's
true.
Fine. That's fine. I just hope he's got a very, very good detail and he knows when not to hot dog it.
We talk about this stuff, and I swear, all I see in my mind's eye is Idiocracy.
Yeah.
And it really scares me and frustrates me, you know. I was told by, you know, having a conversation with a family member, says to me that I've become really wise in my middle age, right? But when I want to send him information on something, I'm told not to send him too much to read.
Yeah.
In a way, you need a picture book?
Yeah, in a way, I blame the coal industry.
Yeah, in certain areas of the country, for sure.
No, I mean on most 99% of the country, because in anywhere in this country, children are born a minimum. The day they're born, they're a minimum 10 points behind what their parents were. And that doesn't count all the mercury they're going to ingest as they're growing up, and that retards their development even further. We are becoming a nation of idiots.
It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Here's a historical parallel. One of the reasons the Roman Empire didn't so much collapse because of politics, one of the reasons it collapsed was because its people became incredibly stupid because their aqueducts were lined with lead.
Yep. They poisoned themselves with their own ingenious invention, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then you have this long, long period where humanity has to basically climb out of the hole after the contaminants are gone and relearn everything.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you also, there was the loss of obviously, you know, brain power due to lead poisoning, but then there's other parallels to what's going on in the United States, where, you know, hiring foreign fighters to
yep.
fight your wars.
Welcome to the Hessians.
Yep. The indulgences of the government and the waste. And you see it, and this is where I really think, for all the, you know, fear Al Qaeda, they want to destroy the nation. America's is on a collision course with destroying itself.
Yeah, how many times were the people of the Soviet Union told, you must sacrifice to save Mother Russia? How many serfs died before the revolutions to save Mother Russia when there was nothing to save it from because other than their own aristocrats' excesses? When your people are starving, you don't have to fix why they're starving. Just invent an enemy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, just add another boogeyman and, you know, be scared, be scared, be scared. You know, and another one of these things, you know, I've been finding more and more frustrating is, you know, you can't have a dialogue with a person, say, on the environment or on renewable energy or any of this kind of thing when they deny the facts of the science, they don't believe that it's a problem at all. So, you know, you and I would get on, you know, we could get on to, you know, IPCC modeling and, you know, the increased levels of carbon and the ice sheets and the this and the that. And they just go with blinders and say, well, it's not a problem. So there's nothing to fix. But meanwhile, they'll jump all over, you know, be afraid of the 7 foot tall guy and the dialysis machine.
Yeah.
You know, I really wonder if it's all gone so far that even on an issue like universal health care, where all the polling that I've been seeing lately shows that the American people
want single payer.
They want it. They want the system fixed.
Well, you know why the Republicans don't want single payer, why they don't want universal health care? Because that would mean that some of those people getting health care would be brown and black. That's the name of that tune.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've even heard it from my own family. So they're going, yeah, but what about the illegal immigrants that suddenly might get free health care? And it's like, these are the same illegal immigrants that you hire for your business.
Yeah. Go ask the people of England or France or Canada how they feel about somebody coming into, a tourist coming into their country and getting hurt. And do they turn them away? No. They also don't charge them either. They just fix them.
Yep.
It blows me away.
It amazes me. You're like, here's one of these bits of logic when it comes to, like, American immigration that just completely just makes my head cave in, right? I could possibly not be allowed to bring Gail to the United States because she
had hepatitis C.
Yeah, had, so it's past tense. It's cured. It's gone. But because they fear she could be an undue burden on a healthcare system that you don't even fucking have.
Yeah. And I just love it. Frankly, I got to tell you, if I could find a way to get to Australia, I'd do it.
I know. And there's a reason why Australia's immigration is the tightest in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, one, we do have this healthcare system. So to keep it in check, you know, they do make you go through a bit of hurdling and all that to get in. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, it's a water, not-so-rich nation.
Yep. Like
they gotta watch out for too much expanse in population.
Yeah, you're in effectively an island and a very dry one at that, and so you can't overrun your resources. That's understandable.
Right.
That doesn't alter the fact that I really wish I could.
Well,
or Canada or England or someplace like that, because frankly, this healthcare system sucks.
Hey, New Zealand too. And there's a place that actually New Zealand doesn't have any coal-fired power plants. There's not a one. It's all because they have great water resources.
On a good note,
yeah.
Here's something cool.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to have satellite TV, and they've got on one of the cable networks, they've got one of these programs that it's talking about gigantic industrial-sized fixes. And the last one I saw was they were putting the finishing touches on a SPEG in California.
Woohoo!
And it worked. They got it cranked up. It's cranking out power.
Right on. That
it's a SPEG.
I love it. I love it. It so is one of the best options out there. And for folks that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, it's solar geothermal, which is a base load system. And after construction, there are zero carbon emissions, and it generates power at a very, very good cost ratio. You know, you can make money on this thing.
What was really interesting was they did it by a marriage of, they had to bring it under budget. So sure, they've got the fancy 21st century technology for the mirrors and the computer control, because the mirrors are constantly tracking with the sun.
Yeah.
But what was cool was, then they said, well, okay, now let's just not go crazy on 21st century. Let's just go with a tried and true. So what they did was they took these two giant engines that they would use to heat up turbines. Well, then they're not really turbines, but they're the part of it that they put on top that had the pipes in it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they used basically their generators.
Right.
And so they took two gigantic industrial generators from the 40s.
They're probably steam style turbines.
Yeah. And so they plunked them up on top of that, aligned them, filled the pipes, and let her rip.
Bob, and Bob's your uncle, and you have baseload power now.
It's cool.
It is cool, and you know the math was done that if actually just a 100 square mile area of the Mojave Desert was turned fully into this kind of power generation, it could power the entire U.S. grid. Not that you would do it in one big 10 mile by 10 mile square, but just the fact that there is that much generation potential, you know, and in this country we should be doing that. The just straight geothermal energy that could be produced in Australia in the brown heart of this nation would be awe-inspiring. But we sell a shitload of coal.
And so does West Virginia. And then do you know where it ends up?
China.
In Oregon.
Oh, well, yeah.
In the form of acid rain.
Right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and a huge amount of our coal ends up in China, which kind of makes sense. They're you know, they're like right there, you know.
Well, that's where the air pollution is coming from that hits us. When I emailed those letters to Bob so he could take them down, I'd inserted in that letter a photograph taken from a NOAA satellite of the air pollution tracking over the Pacific headed straight for Oregon. It's got my handwritten letter, and then just below it, it's got the picture of this NOAA satellite printout. Hopefully it will help.
It can't hurt. It can't hurt, yeah. Susan. Hey, you know, it's been a long time since you and I had a chat. It's really, really good to talk to you. One of the things that I love when you ring up is that you help fill in an era that happened just before I was born, but I'm really fascinated with.
It was a horror to live through.
Yeah.
Living through that was just awful. Here's one thing that just infuriated me, though. My husband is a veteran, so he gets this VFW magazine.
Right.
And on the cover is this thing that says, 109 servicemen died while Woodstock rocked. And I went ballistic. Because then I'm thinking about all of the servicemen who died after Nixon, who got elected on a, quote, secret plan to end the war, and instead expanded it by bombing Cambodia. How many soldiers died then? But the only thing this right-wing freak could talk about was Woodstock.
You know, don't look over there. Shiny thing.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the shiny things they want to talk about, I've heard people saying now, well, we shouldn't have gotten out of Vietnam. We could have won it. How do you win a war when the soldiers involved refused to fight? Because that's what ended that war. They mutinied in mass amounts.
Well, and you know, you bring up something. You know, I was actually having a chat with my neighbor about this, and I said, you know, all that French bashing that so many people in America like to do. It's a couple of things that I like to remind them of. First of all, the fact that there wouldn't be a United States of America if it hadn't been for the
Without
French.
Without the French, yeah.
But Vietnam is another thing. The United States was trying to give France back its little province, right?
Yep. And so, we got our noses bashed.
So, you know, they weren't cheese-eating surrender monkeys then.
No.
They needed our help then.
Yeah, and those cheese-eating surrender monkeys, supposedly, happen to have the best health care in the world.
Yep. And
far and above ours.
And they do pay higher taxes, however, no one there complains. Because they've got such great service. I mean, you see what just pregnant women get. It's incredible. The you know, you actually can get someone will come to the house once a week when, you know, the baby's first born to actually give mom a break and do a few bits and bobs.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. The only reason I didn't go start grieving crazy when I had my kids is because my mother came down and helped me out.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you're a single mother and you don't have family? Well, I can tell you. Mom gets awful tired, she gets awful cranky, and she may just end up snapping.
Absolutely. And you know, mom becomes unhealthy. Mom then ends up becoming an adversary to the kids. You know, there's, again, I keep looking at my home nation as being just so sociopathic.
Your home nation is one giant clusterfuck. I'm sorry. Pardon my language, but it is. It's foobar to the max, and that's, hey, I live here. I was born here, and I got a right to criticize it. It's a mess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and for people that give me crap, sitting here, you're just over there fucking lobbing, you know, shit. And it's just like, well, it's because I have this context of living somewhere else where things are done better. And population-wise, this is a tiny country. We're one-third the size of Iran by population.
And have you noticed that our so-called news media very carefully doesn't mention things like the universal health care that France, that Australia have, not to mention Canada? Instead, you get some woman who had a cyst on the back of her head, calls it a brain tumor, and says that Canadian health care wouldn't take it off fast enough.
It
wasn't life-threatening. Of course you've got to wait.
And the other part of it too is in any system there's going to be faults, right? And it's this idea of portraying as though the American system works, and you'll be able to go and find people that fell through the cracks or unfortunate things that happened in any system, but they don't have a huge part of their population that has no health care at all. They don't have 60% of bankruptcies in their nation being because of health care costs. So this is where, you know, yeah, constantly in the news in the UK, you will have people writing things about problems in their healthcare system. But ask them if they'd have it any other way, and they'd be like, hell no, you take the national healthcare away, and you got a problem on your hands.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work it. I mean, we've got problems with it here, and a lot of it comes from 10 years of underfunding. And not actually funding it enough to deal with population growth. And this current government is trying to find ways in which to sort some of that. Because the states actually run the hospitals, that could come to an end. The federal government might actually go ahead and say, nah, you all are really, really bunging this. We keep throwing you money and we're not getting the increases in beds that we think we should be seeing. So, you know, bugger you, we're gonna take them over, because they're already the ones paying for it anyway. So, you know, but no one here would ever want to go to an American style system. You know,
oh God,
like
no.
Bill Maher said, you know, 49 other countries have better health care than the United States.
Which should tell the people, but you see, the American people are never told this. It's people like you and me, people who are willing to go outside of our media to look at what the other countries see. We find out about it. But then again, if you're taught, do what you're told, don't get curious, just shut up and do your job. They're not looking. What they're doing is they're saying, show your birth certificate. Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, it's a joke. You know, that whole thing, you know, and you have people like G. Gordon Liddy actually playing along with it. Instead you know, I mean, really.
Just a convicted felon.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, any of these people that have, you know, in mainstream media that have actually given airtime to these people, you know, they would do themselves much more credit if they would just debunk it as it can be easily debunked and then move on to more serious things. But it's much easier and better for ratings for the people that don't get off their ass or read
exactly.
a book. And it's, you know, this is why part of me thinks that Glenn Beck is actually just a circus clown. And I don't necessarily think he believes a lot of the things that he says, but it gets him ratings, and it's making him a shitload of money, and there you go. There's a sociopath for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, I would look at a mafia thug as having more credibility because he doesn't try and be anything other than what he is. G. Gordon Liddy is nothing more than a two-bit thug. He's wearing a fancy suit, but he's a thug, and he's a rotten one at that.
Yeah, no argument.
Hell, the mafia could do better than that. But I do want to mention, if the people who are running this country want to think of something, they better think of two historical dates. 1917, 1789. Guys, you push people far enough and take away everything, then they have nothing left to lose, and then those two dates are going to come back and bite you in the butt. And if you don't know what they are, you should go look them up, fellas. I'm sure John knows what they are.
Well, one would be the French Revolution.
The other one is the Russian Revolution.
You want to
talk to the Romanovs about how that one went out?
Yeah.
Provided you can find their bodies.
You know, and I have to say, I love it when I see in France where, you know, One group of workers will go on strike for some reason, and then, like, the bakers and everybody else go on strike in solidarity and say, yeah, you're screwing those people, so we're not going to work either until you fix it for them.
Yeah, I just love it. I'm sitting there going, yay.
And here we're
screwing our unions up one side and down the other.
And that's society looking out for one another.
Yep. Ronald Reagan is burning in hell for a whole lot of things. Firing the Patco workers. It's very high on the list.
Yeah. Susan, I'm going to move on, but this is always great to talk to you. Say hi to hubby for me, and don't be a stranger. Always love talking to you, darling.
Love talking to you. Bye-bye. Give my love to Gail.
I will. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was our good friend, Susan, from Oregon. And, you know, I love talking to people who lived in times that I didn't. Because, you know, I can try and get as much as I can from, you know, books, internet, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's hard to get the feel of it. And you get the feel of it when you talk to someone like Susan, you know, talking about how horrific it was to live during, you know, the 60s when, you know, three of the most promising leaders the world's probably ever seen were all taken down. And I can't even comprehend. Aha! Uh-oh, the boss is calling. Hey, Bob, how are you? Bob? That's
Bob, how are you? Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, a little distorted. I was getting a whole bunch of room there for a minute.
Well, I'm doing only experimental radio here right now, so...
That's much better.
Just a second.
That just cleaned up
huge. I wanted to point something out based on something that Susan said a few minutes ago.
Sure.
Can you hear me? So our audio is okay right now.
Yeah, you're all cleaned up. It's nice now.
Okay. The business about... the right wing lie that, well, you know, the politicians and the hippies hadn't stepped in and gotten away. We was on the way to winning in Vietnam. That one?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard me say from time to time that the Repig-Licking Party has never had an call its own throughout its entire history. The abolition of slavery was a movement that started without the Republican Party, because it didn't exist at the time. And all the way up through that business is, we could have won in Vietnam. You know who they stole that one from, John?
No, who?
Well, just like so much of what happened in the, 8 miserable, tortured years of the Bush administration, they took that straight out of the German Nazi handbook.
Why does that not surprise me?
And what I mean by that is that, one of the things that motivated, the malcontent element in Weimar Germany was the constant drumbeat by the Nazi Party, the nascent Nazi Party of the time, that we were not defeated, we were betrayed. We could have won the war if only the politicians had not been in the way.
Right.
And you've got people like Goering, who, of course, was a decorated fighter pilot from the Luftwaffe of the First World War, echoing exactly that garbage.
Right. Well, it's trying to portray the leadership of the time as being traitorous. Is that what you're trying to say?
Just a second, John.
All right. Bob's playing.
Dun, dun, dun. Say again, please.
What I was saying, you know, is this trying, in other words, trying to portray the leadership of the time as being traitorous to the nation?
Oh, yeah. And it's no different from what we see today. I don't want no Obamacare.
Yeah.
I want good capitalist health care that'll let me die in misery.
Yeah, I want good capital.
I saw photographs from the rally that Texas Betsy attended, and it was tough to keep supper down when I saw some of that stuff.
Oh yeah. I think we are dealing with the most racist elements of the population that will just try and turn anything on its head and use it as cover for the fact that they really just can't handle the fact that we have a man of color in the White House.
That's part of it, but it's also stuff that's been going on long before Barack Obama was president. You know, the Bush administration used the big lie, Nazis early on as their tool by which they convinced most of America. I think Rick Goodner noted in Fox Syndrome Shared Psychotic Disorder that something on the order of at 1.70 to 80% of America thought Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11.
Which is just ludicrous.
Right. Anybody with half a brain knew otherwise. but they told that lie and they weren't so heavy-handed as to just tell it outright. What they did is they insinuated it.
Right.
And that's what makes it so daggum disgusting.
The whispering of the misinformation, you know, I'm telling you, Bob, I cannot get Idiocracy out of my mind. It's just beyond my ability now. I look at what's going on with, you know, with this debate, you know, after Obama's, you know, press conference the other night, the only thing that was reported in any of the major news media was about the arrest of that professor. Nothing being talked about actually what he was laying out about why everyone will be better off with a public option. The idea that they portray this as taking choice away when it's actually giving people more choice. I mean, opposite world has come full time, man.
Well, it has. It has indeed. And I'm at sixes and sevens now as to whether or not I think the American people will wake up. Although, you know, the American people are only part of the problem. You know, 70-80% want a public option.
Right.
But you've got Senator Max Baucus, the healthcare industry, who doesn't even have a public option in his plan. And then you've got this thing, I don't know if you saw it, where Charles Grassley, who is this sniveling little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby from Iowa, who's been a water carrier for the everything that's wrong with the Republican Party since the 1980s, he came out Friday night, I think it was, maybe Saturday, and he said, "Well, I've had private conversations with Barack Obama in which he says he's willing to give up on the public option."
Do you think that that's true?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do think it's true, John.
Then the whole process is for nothing. How about
it's all kabuki theater, John.
I reckon on this issue, bloody have a national referendum. Then you know that the people want it, and then it's up to the politicians to make it. I don't know how you possibly would be able to do that. I mean, they do that here in Australia. They have referenda on the ballot. And, you know, I think that, you know, like, cram it down their throats. It's not their choice to make anymore. The people have already decided. 80% of the population want some sort of public option. So just fucking do it.
Well, it falls to the people of, you know, people in New York don't get to vote for or against Max Baucus. People in, you know, Florida don't either. It's up to the people of Montana. And the thing is, the choice that they get is Max Baucus or a guy who's even crazier. You know, the failure is in the primary system, John.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't doubt that at all.
No, I heard Susan say that, and I was like, well, you know, I think we went to this movie. that's straight out of the Nazi playbook. And if you don't mind, I wanted to repeat something real quick that I offered on Friday night, and I'm going to try to find a way to spread the offer around tomorrow. You know, I'm headed to, the whole fam, Damily and I are headed for Washington, D.C. tomorrow.
Right.
I have been repeatedly told, and I've got a few of them in my hand already. In fact, Susan was one of the ones who took me up on the offer. I've been repeatedly told up there that nothing has as much impact as a handwritten letter. And it's damn near impossible to get a handwritten letter to a congressman's office in D.C. now, ever since the mysterious right-winger that we never found sent the anthrax to Capitol Hill.
Right.
So here's what I'm offering. If anybody, I don't care where you're from, California, Florida, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Alabama, Tennessee, whatever, anybody who wants to handwrite a letter to their congressman and their two senators and scan it into their computer as a document and email it to me, bobkincaid@gmail.com, I will joyfully hand carry, and I'll do it in the company of Ferg and Marg and Doodle and Agnes. We will hand carry it to each individual congressional office and see that it is received.
In regard to H.R. 1310 and S-696, H.R. 1310 being the Clean Water Protection Act and S-696 being the Appalachian Restoration Act, we will happily deliver those to each and every Senate office and House office to which there is one addressed.
I think it's a great way to do it, and I hope that people will take you up on that offer, because I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm not surprised that handwritten letters get a bit of prominence. That doesn't surprise me one bit. So for anybody out there, it's just bobkincaid@gmail.com. Write your letter, scan it, email the attachment to Bob. He'll print it out and it'll get hand delivered, and you can bet that that's just a solid promise. And I think it's awesome. And if I wasn't going to be away all this week, man, I'd be filling in for you. I'm sorry, but it's the way the timing's working.
Oh, I know. Well, no. At the last minute, John, I've decided to. If there was a photograph taken of me right now, it would be of me sitting in the middle of a linoleum floor, surrounded by wires, my gig bag, my mixer, and I'm taking the bag with me. I wasn't going to, but you know what? I know I'm going to be busy tomorrow night, so tomorrow night's definitely a rerun. But Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, there's every possibility in the world that I might be able to call behind the microphone at some point. So I'm taking the gig rig with me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And people are asking to get the info to send you the letters posted. So we'll see about getting one of the ninjas to actually get that up front and center at the website, and see if we can get you a whole slew of letters to take with you.
Well, the other thing I'm going to try to do tomorrow night, time permitting, is, I hate to impose on somebody who has been as kind and good to us as Mike Malloy and Kathy Malloy have been, but I'm going to try to make that same offer to the Truth Seekers.
I reckon that they'd be totally into that. I think I'm going to have to let you go, though, Bob. I'm about 3 minutes from running out of show.
Yeah, it's quitting time, brother.
But it's always good to talk to you, man. Have a great time in D.C., and I hope you end up with just, like, reams of letters to take with you. It would just be stupendous.
Oh, me too, brother. Me too. And, hey, welcome back. You were much missed. And find the postman and knock him to the ground and get that box away from him, would you?
I'm waiting. I'm hoping that, like, he hasn't come up while I'm doing the show and I didn't hear him, but I've got all the doors open. I didn't care whether we're going to be hearing dogs barking or nothing. I wanted to hear that guy if he pulled up, so I'm expecting him today. They say it's at the local delivery point as of 1:15 this morning, so that means it should be here today. So have a great trip, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, later, John.
All right, man.
Bye.
Take
now.
Care. All right, folks. That's getting to be about it. Hey, thanks for being here. It's been great fun. You've been listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Gene, my news ninja. Thanks to ELO for my new header. Very nice. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Don't forget to contribute both to us and over at White Rose. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder for the music. And as we say here, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.